Church, say amen.
Amen.
Thankful for yet another opportunity to be with you this morning, again to share with you and to continue our Bible studies with you, to talk more about God and His Word, to refocus our energies and our efforts and our attention to what His Word says, because it's crucial, it's very important, and it's needful if you're striving for heaven. Remember, heaven is a real place. Heaven is where God is, and heaven is where His Son is. He gave us His Spirit that is to lead us in matters of righteousness so long as we are abiding by His Word. And we want to be where He is. And someday, we pray that that shall be so. But in order for that to happen, we have to stay diligent in our studies and in His Word. We want to take a look at Old Testament examples and look at New Testament commands. We want to look at how we are to align our lives according to His Word so that we can be found faithful when He decides to send His Son back to close this thing out on this time side of life. But with that said, go ahead and open your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 12 as we get ready to continue our study looking at faith, but in more so with the title of this lesson this morning, we're going to look at the title of In the Lord's House, Covered by His Blood. And as we studied this morning, we took a look at the crucial and necessary need for those who desire to be saved, or not so much desire to be saved, but those that Rahab wanted to be saved had to be in that one house in order for them to be saved from the destruction that was coming to Jericho. And so anyone who was found outside of that house was not going to be saved. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that they destroyed everything. They destroyed everything that God commanded of them to destroy, with exception of those that were found in that house. And in that house had a marking on it that they told her to put on that house in order for them to know that that was the house that was to be saved, and the contents of that house and the people that were in that house. And if someone was outside of that house, then they were going to be destroyed. And so it's very essential and critical for us today to recognize what house we need to be in and we desire to be saved. Because there is no other house that is going to be saved. There is no other house to go to find salvation than that of the house of the Lord. And so if we are not found in that house, then at that day, when this is all a wrap, then we're not going to find ourselves dwelling in the mansion that has been prepared for us. Remember, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But in my Father's house are many mansions. And that's the house that we want to be in. That's the house that we want to go. But in order to be in that house, we need to be in the house that the Lord established and created and made on His own here today while we're on this time side of life. But let's take a look at our Old Testament example. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12. Once again, these book chapter and verses that I share with you, these aren't new to you. The ideas aren't new to you. The principles aren't new to you. What the Bible says to you isn't new to you. The idea is for us to be reminded of where we need to be in lieu of the examples that have gone on before us. So in Exodus chapter 12, here's what it says, starting at verse number 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation, to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month thou shalt take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And so remember, that's what I had alluded to a little bit earlier during Bible class, is that the Lord God always commanded of His people to take so much just for their house. But if there is some left over, give it to the neighbors next to them where they have need. But He's also going to tell them what to do, which we won't go into too much dietary over it, is what to do with what remained. All right, because there was also instructions for that. So look at this, verse number 4. And if the household, verse number 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of their souls, Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the doorpost, and strike it on the two side doorposts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat. Now think about this. At this point in time, when the Lord God has given them this command to take this blood and to strike it on both sides of the doorpost, do they know why? Do they have an understanding why? Is it necessary for them to have an understanding why? Just like I showed you, you know, a couple weeks ago, when the Lord God commanded of Adam and Eve, but Adam in particularly, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat except for the tree in the midst of the garden, did they need to know why it was necessary for them not to partake of that tree? It wasn't necessary for them. What was necessary, which is also crucial for us today, is obedience. You know, that's where we as parents get the old adage when the kid says, why? And we say, because I said so. Just do it because I said so. You don't need to know why. You don't need to know the outcome. You don't need to know, you know, what's to happen or what could happen or what may, because perhaps we may introduce you or expose you to something that may actually entice you. And so it's crucial for obedience. The Lord God told him, take the blood, strike the two doorposts on the side and the upper post of the house wherein ye shall eat it. But he's going to go ahead and tell them a little bit about why. Watch this. He says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with herbs, bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Now, we're not going to go into the diet, you know, the dialogue about how specific the Lord God is being with all these things. I believe you all understand the importance of that, but we're talking more so about this house. Look at this, verse number 9. He says, eat not it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and with his legs and with the pudence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staffs in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. All right? And so right now, all the Lord has been talking about in these few verses is preparing food. It's preparing a type of feast. Now they're going to get the understanding of why this obedience and carrying this out is that much more essential. Now they're going to get the understanding of what the blood on this doorpost means. Watch this. Verse number 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for, what y'all see there? A token. Remember, Rahab said to the spies, please give us a true token. Right? This is something that is going to be redeemed. All right. So he says, and the blood shall be for you, be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, wherein I smite the land of Egypt. Very crucial and very important things. The Lord is instructing his people concerning the blood. This blood is very essential. They couldn't just take just anything and put it on the doorpost and on the top of the doorpost. They had to take the blood of a lamb or the blood of a goat. Just like Noah couldn't use any kind of wood. He had to use the specific wood the Lord God told him to use. He had to build the specific type of ark that the Lord God told him to use or to build. Same principle applies. They couldn't just take any kind of blood or any kind of animal. Remember, it says it must be without blemish. It must be of the first year. And so anything will not do when it comes to giving God his praise, when it comes to offering God what he asks of us to offer him. You can't just do anything and expect the Lord God to accept it. The Lord God has told us what he wants from us. The Lord God has given us the command and instruction, which I love about his consistency, the instruction on how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, why to do it, what will happen if you don't do it. How awesome is he? Now think about that. I always say to people, if you're going to be held accountable to something, wouldn't you like to know what you're being held accountable to? What, you know, what can happen if you don't do it? What the effects are if you don't do it? I mean, think about that. If I don't do my job at the job that I work, then maybe the data analysis doesn't get done and the numbers don't get turned into the state and then the FBI doesn't get the statistics they need if I don't do my job. And so if we understand the importance of why we do what we do, then we understand the importance of doing it and the outcome thereof. So think about this. The Lord God told him to do these things. He gave him a time frame. He said on the 14th day of the month, this shall transpire. He told him a location of what's to where it's to happen. These respective houses that you are going to be in need to have this blood on the two doorposts and up on the upper door, up on the upper doorposts. But why? Again, verse number 12, it says he is going to pass through to execute judgment. He is going to be passing through to execute judgment. So those who decided not to obey him will have judgment upon them when he passes through. But for those who obey him, according to verse number 13, he is going to pass over when he sees the blood. That means he's looking for something. The Bible says, when the Lord comes back, shall he find faith? Which means he's going to be looking for something. He's going to be looking for that sign. He's going to be looking to see if his blood is over you. He's going to be looking to see if you are being faithful. Because if he doesn't find you being faithful, you're not going to make the trip. It's just that simple. And so we need to keep things that simple in our lives in order not to make things more complex. But understand, if we desire to leave the Lord, to walk away from his will, to walk away from his command, again, good luck. I don't think you'll be where he is if you decide to walk away from him and do what you want and then still expect him to save you. It's just going to be difficult that way. But he told them to make sure that this blood is where it is supposed to be, because I'm going to pass over. And when I see that blood covering that post, when I see that, I'm going to pass over you. And you know the story. The death angel came, or he came to Passover. We call it the death angel, but he came and did his Passover. And all, in fact, the Bible says there was not one house of the Egyptian nation that was not affected by his passing through, because all had someone that they lost, right on up to Pharaoh. And we know that Pharaoh lost his son. And of course, that's when Pharaoh told Moses and Aaron, you and the God's people, and he acknowledged God, said, you and them, y'all get out of here. It's time to go. And of course, you know, I'm paraphrasing that in so many words, so many short words. So keep that in mind, is that they had to be in the house. Anyone outside of that house where the blood was, they were going to be struck dead, especially the firstborn. So they needed to be in the house. They needed to have the sign of the blood on the house, very much like Rahab. They needed to be in the house. They had this, needed to have the sign outside the house that God instructed for them to have in order to be saved when destruction was coming their way. But we have to understand, and I keep saying this, I'm going to keep reminding us, what makes us the exception to the rule? Just because we're in 2020 and times have changed and technology has changed and so many other things has changed does not make us the exception to the rule. We still have to be in the house that the Lord established. Be in the house that the Lord established when he told us to be there. Be doing what he told us to do while we're in there. Because remember, in old times, when we look at the old synagogues that were built or the temples that were built, there were things going on that shouldn't have been going on. There was idols being put up. There were people worshiping in the high places. They were doing things they had no business doing. So then the Lord made sure that that stuff got destroyed and put away and put from among them. Remember, when Josiah found the book of the law, he wept, but he restored everything. He got rid of the idols, the idolatry worshiping priests. He got rid of everything that offended. He covered everything that offended. And he got back to what the Lord God commanded according to the law. We are no exception to the rule. We need to make sure we stay with what the Lord God has commanded. So let's take a look at that. Turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 2. What about the Lord's house? What about his blood? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2 says this. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, not houses, house. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. It says in verse 2, it says, and it shall come to pass and in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Not them, it. Now, we're all smart enough to understand the singularity of this very sentence. We're all smart enough to understand that the Lord God is only going to have one house. Not many houses, one house. And all nations shall flow to that one house. But we also know, according to the book, chapters and verses, especially in the book of John, that Jesus never spoke of a physical house. Right? Remember when he says, destroy this house, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they said to him, it took our fathers 440 years to build this house. How do you think you're going to rebuild this in 3 days? Right? And he says, and he said that to them, knowing that they thought he was talking about a physical house. But he wasn't talking about a physical house. All right? And so right here, we see that the Lord's house is going to be established in the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. So one house, and it's only, and all the nations are going to flow unto it. Now watch this. Turn your Bibles over to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to flip over to a few verses. So, you know, get your fingers ready. Daniel chapter 2. We'll start reading at around verse number 44. We know that this is a prophecy of the church. This is a prophecy of that house. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he had a dream that frightened him. Nebuchadnezzar could not tell. He did not have the interpretation of that dream. So he called all of his astrologers and soothsayers and those who practiced that type of stuff and said, here, I'm going to tell you the dream and you better tell me what this means. And they couldn't. And to every person who couldn't tell him what the interpretation of the dream was, he killed them. He slayed them. He said, what good are you to me if you can't tell me what this dream meant? And so someone came to him and says, there is a man that you keep right now in your jail cell. His name is Daniel. He is capable of interpreting dreams. And then when Daniel came before him, Daniel told him, he says, look, it is not me, but it is the Lord God who interprets dreams. It is the Lord God that gives the meaning to these things. But go ahead and tell me your dream and I will interpret these things for you. And Nebuchadnezzar went on ahead to tell Daniel what the dream was. And Daniel went ahead to proceed to tell him the interpretation of that dream. All right. But look at verse number 44. A part of that interpretation was this. Daniel says to him, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, not kingdoms, a kingdom. Right. Which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Look at 45. For as much as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. All right? And so what you're seeing happening right here is the very fact that Daniel is interpreting to him what's to take place. And that a kingdom is going to be established. It's never going to be destroyed, and that it is not made with hands. So we're not talking about a physical building of brick and mortar. Remember, we're still talking about the one house. The Lord. We're talking about the Lord's house. And the importance of being covered by his blood, just as it was important back in Exodus chapter 12. that they had the blood on the doorpost. Anyone outside of that house was going to be destroyed. Anyone without that blood on their doorpost, their firstborn was going to die. All right? And we don't want to be amongst that group when it comes to being in the Lord's house. We want to make sure we're in the Lord's house. But watch this. We know what Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18 says, right? It says, when the Lord came upon Caesarea Philippi, he said unto the disciples, whom say men that I am, right? And some said that you're a prophet. Some said that you're Elijah, right? Some said that you're Moses. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God, right? And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Peter. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, right? But my Father which is in heaven, right? But upon your confession, upon this, I will build what? My church. Not my churches, my church. So the Lord God built the church. And what he's going to do is give instruction to his disciples of how to be in that church. Because if we're not in the church that he built, then where else can salvation be found? I mean, think about it. If salvation can be found any other place other than Christ, then what's the point of having his church? See, many people believe, remember, I showed you the video with Miss Oprah Winfrey, remember? She says, many people believe, right, that there is many ways to their God. Yeah, sure, there is many ways to their God. There is only one way to the God of heaven. And that's the way that he gave. That's the way that he gave. If you want to come to Anthony, Tamar, Jalen, and Jada's house, we'll tell you the different ways you can go to get to our house. You can go back this way. You can come out to you know, off of Calvada and turn right, or you can turn left. And, you know, we can tell you which surface streets to take to get to our house. There's only one way to get to God's house, and that is through him. Remember, Jesus said, John 14, 6, right? No man come to the Father but by me. Only one way for them to go, and only one house for them to go to. All right, let's get back to this. So, in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord God said to them that I'm going to build my church, saith the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, we know that the Bible teaches us that there is one body. And the Bible teaches us that the Lord God is the head of that body, which is the church. Not churches, church. One body, one head, one baptism, right? One faith, one Lord, one. Where do you get the authority as flesh and blood, mankind, creation, not creator, creation, to tell the creator, I'm going to come up with a different way to get to your house? Good luck with that. Best of luck. All right? The Lord God has told us that he's going to build one church. Now watch this. What about the blood? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Flip your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 3. We also see this respective text, and we'll take a look at it also in Romans chapter 6. But let's look at Galatians chapter 3. We'll start reading at verse number 1. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? Make sure I give you the right text. 3:2-7. Okay, here we go. Yeah. So it says, verse number 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same, the same are the children of Abraham. Consider this. The Bible is teaching us in this chapter, and also in coinciding with Romans chapter 6, which we'll go ahead and flip over to Romans chapter 6, that we are baptized into the name of Christ, baptized into the body of Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I might have rewritten that text down. Romans chapter 6. Here we go. Verse 1 through 4. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. Right? Romans chapter 6. Starting at verse 1. We're on verse 2 now. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And so when you were baptized, when you put on Christ in baptism, you were baptized into Christ. And if he is the church, if he established the church, he is the head of the church, his body is the church, you were baptized into him, then you are baptized into his church. You are baptized into his house. And so in his house, he has given various rules of what is to be done. But also remember, his house, his body, shed some blood. And his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. All right? And so look at this. Continue on. Verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the body by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And so this is very crucial for us to understand that we are baptized into the body of Christ. His blood that was shed cleanses us. His blood saves us. Without the shedding of his blood, we have no remission of sins. Remember, Acts chapter 2, 38 through 41. What shall we do, right? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Well, what remits the sins? His blood. His blood remits the sins. And so by us being baptized into his body, we are able to meet his blood through baptism. According to Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, his blood is what purchased us, right? It says he purchased us with his own blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 teaches and tells us that we are justified by his blood. That doesn't necessarily mean we stop working, but his blood gives us the opportunity to be justified. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and just hold on right there. Actually, you know what? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 because I want to read this respective text in lieu of the token. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we have a couple more verses and the lesson will be yours. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 18. It says, for as much as we know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things. Remember, that token that the Bible talked about, that Rahab talked about, and that was spoken about in Exodus chapter 12, that blood was to redeem you, right? And so this is teaching and telling us right here that we are not being redeemed by corruptible things, okay? As silver, such as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That is what redeems us. As of the Lamb, look at that, without spot and without blemish. Remember, in Exodus chapter 12, he says, you must take up a lamb. It must be of the firstborn, right? It must be one of the first, and it must be without spot and without blemish. All right? And so he says in verse number 20, who verily, let me make sure I'm reading this text, all right? Yep. Verse 20, he says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So it was set up from the beginning of the world, before the foundations of the world, that his blood, that he was going to have to come to earth, put on flesh and blood, and shed his blood, because he knew that man was going to become sinful and needed to be saved. All right? And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we don't necessarily need to go there, but that's where it teaches us and tells us to behave. It teaches us and tells us how to behave in the house of God, in the house of the Lord. All right? And so that just further goes, and go ahead and turn, we'll close out with Hebrews chapter 9, so everyone flip over to Hebrews chapter 9. But it further just goes on to tell us and teach us and remind us that the Lord God has one house, that he built one church, and that he shed his blood and purchased that church by the shedding of his blood, all right? So in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse number 11, we're going to go down to verse number 18, and then I'll turn the lesson over to you. It says, starting at verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Y'all see that? Remember in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 48, Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that this kingdom that the Lord was going to set up is never going to be destroyed. And it's not going to be left to any other man. And it was not made with hands. All right. And so look at this. He says, but Christ, being that high priest of good things to come, of greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for who? For us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, right? Make sure I'm in the right place. All right, yep. Look at verse 15. We're going to 18. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption and of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator still lives. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop. And what did he do with it? And sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. And because of the bloodshed that God did, because of the blood that God put on his house, we want to be found in his house in order to be saved. And how do we do that? We're coming to a close here. That's where the Bible teaches us that we need to hear him. In order to get into his house, we need to hear him. Because guess what? He's going to tell us where his house is. He's going to tell us how to get into the house. He's going to tell us what our conduct is to be when we get into the house. So remember, that's what he did with Israel. He said, there's a land that I have promised for you. I'm going to help you get into that land. And I'm going to tell you what's going on in that land. And I'm going to tell you what you should not be doing when you get in that land. Right? So he tells us the same thing. I'm going to tell you that there is a house. I built the house. I shed my blood for that house. Here's how you get into the house. So we hear him tell us how to get into that house. We believe what he tells us concerning of how to get into that house. Right? And part of getting into that house, he tells us to repent of our sins. He says, if you want to be in this house, you need to repent of your sins. You need to acknowledge that the way you've been thinking, the things you've been doing, the thoughts that you've been having, that needs to be put off. And I need you to put me on so that you can have the mind of Christ. Right? So he says, repent of your sins. And I also want you to confess me before men. Because if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. That's what he tells us to do, right? And so if we do that, then he also tells us, after you confess me before men, this is how you get in the house. This is how you cross the threshold. This is how you're in the house of salvation where the blood is, so that when I come back, I see that you're in that house. You must be baptized. You get baptized. Because when you're baptized, according to the book, chapter, and verses we just read, you're baptized into Christ. And when you're baptized into Christ, now you're on his radar. Now you're in a position where you can be saved. So for those who reject and refuse baptism or don't think baptism is crucial or essential, again, I say good luck. And I'll continue to say, if Jesus was baptized, what's your problem? All right? So beyond that, he tells us to be baptized, and that puts us in Christ. But then he also tells us to continue to live faithfully unto death. and I will give you a crown of righteousness. All right? So if that be anyone's desire to put on Christ in baptism this morning, you have the opportunity to do that this morning. If the Lord God blesses us with more time for that to come, so be it. That will be in his will. But we just ask that you continue to stay with what God's word says. With that said, let us go ahead and stand as we sing the Savior's invitation.
When we walk with